with me. John, the 3rd chapter, Hebrews, 11th chapter, and Psalm number 2. John, the 3rd chapter, Hebrews, 11th chapter, and Psalm number 2. 400th anniversary of the King James Bible. And not one student going to school today celebrating the 400th anniversary of their science book, 400th anniversary of their spelling book or their grammar book. Heaven and earth will pass away, and everything in it. God's word will not pass away. You got the right book. You got the right book. So we're going to dust off an old sermon I like to preach. They sang about, I've not forgotten God's only begotten. But I'm not certain we're clear on God's only begotten. And so we're going to take a look at that tonight by the help of God. John 3 and 16, you know this, you probably knew it before you got saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, say the modern Bibles. That's too bad. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them believe on his name. Jesus is not God's only son. I'm his son. Are you saved? You're his son. You say, what about these modern Bibles? They say sons and daughters. Daughters have no right of inheritance. That's why God called all of his, all saved people, sons of God, because he made us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. Just leave the Bible alone. You don't have to change it, modernize it. Everything you change, you mess up. Just let it be. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So it can't be his only son. It can't be the only son to whom he's given birth. We're all born again of incorruptible seed. The word of God liveth and abideth forever. We've all been regenerated. So begotten and begat, though they sound alike, they can't be any more the same than other words that sound alike but are different. Gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now come over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll see this word begotten used again in a case of another man that had more than one son. The Bible says by faith, verse 17, Hebrews 11, 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Abraham had another son that he begat, but he only had one son that was begotten. God has many sons that he that are born again of his power, his might, his wondrous working. But he only has one begotten son. Psalm number two says this. The third of our passages, Psalm number 2. We'll start reading at verse number 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. God's not worried about Obama or Gaddafi or Egypt or China or Korea. To him, it's all a big joke. Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Now in our Bible, I'm going to say this, then we'll go take a look at it. In our Bible, the word begotten means to give an exalted position or place. Here's Abraham. There's his boy Ishmael. Here's Abraham, there's his boy Isaac. They're both his sons. Only one is given the inheritance. It's not the God of Abraham, Ishmael, and Muhammad. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So though Abraham was the father of other sons, he had only one son that was begotten, that is chosen, selected, exalted, given a place that was not given to any other son. Our great God has many sons. Thank the Lord, He's still to this very hour bringing many sons to glory. Amen. But He has only one begotten Son. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Three times the New Testament writers, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reach back to Psalm number 2 and quote it, of positions and places given Jesus Christ that have been given to no one else by God His Father. We'll pray and then we'll look at those tonight. Our Father, we're thankful for this Bible that You've given us. We thank You for its perfection, for its truth, for its power to change our lives, to change our minds, to change our ways. Help us, God, we pray, in this hour to lift up and magnify Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's worthy, He's deserving. Help us, Father, we pray in His name. Amen. 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 All right, let's go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter number 13, the first time the Holy Spirit of God reaches back into Psalm number 2 and points us to the begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts 13, we'll start reading at verse number 28. And though they found no cause of death in Him, yet desired they Pilate that He should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of Him, they took Him down from the tree and laid Him in a sepulcher. But God raised Him from the dead. Amen. And He was seen many days of them which came up with Him from Galilee, Jerusalem, who are His witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children. Look. In that He hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten Thee. And as concerning, here it is the third time, that He raised Him up from the dead, watch carefully, now no more to return to corruption, He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Now, the Bible's a funny book. There's some funny things in the Bible. God does some funny things in the Bible. We read Psalm number 2. If you are in Bible school at Landmark Baptist College and you read Psalm number 2 and did not read Acts chapter 13, and the exam said, Psalm number 2 refers to what event in the life of Jesus Christ, you'd all get it wrong. There's nothing in Psalm number 2 about Jesus being raised from the dead. But the Holy Spirit says, I had more in view than that throne at Jerusalem when I wrote Psalm number 2. I just couldn't put it all in one place. So I went over to Acts chapter number 13, and my son, God the Son, having been raised from the dead, I reach back in Psalm number 2 and I say, God has given Him a place that He gave to none other. And it's not that He raised Him from the dead. Moses' body was taken up out of that ground. The Bible tells us in the book of Jude. But the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, it sure looks for all indications that Moses will have to go through the door of death once again. Elisha, they laid his bones in a grave, laid his body in a grave, and he touched the bones of a man long dead, and that man revived, came back to life. But he's not here today to give his testimony. Elijah lay on a boy, seven times that boy, he came back to life, he carried him down, gave him to his mother, raised from the dead, but he's not with us anymore. Lazarus, come forth, only temporary. The widow of Nain's son, Jairus' daughter, many have been raised from the dead, But the Bible says in Acts 13 and verse number 34, and as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to see corruption. God, through his power, and God by his grace throughout the history of the world, from time to time would grant man a temporary reprieve from the power of death. He would grant man the opportunity to escape for a few years from death. But then death would come again and knock upon the door and say, I've got a right to you. I've got claim upon you. The wages of sin is death, and it's time for you to pay up. And every man, every woman paid that wage. Yeah. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he hung upon that cross. He met death on its own terms. He died. They took his body down. They laid it in a grave. And when he walked out of that grave, he left the grave clothes behind. He left the door open. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Forevermore. God the Father gave God the Son a place that he did not give Moses. He did not give the Shunammite's son. He did not give to Jairus' daughter. He did not give to any man. He gave him the power of an endless life. He gave him absolute, full, complete, total victory over sin, over death, and over the grave. Amen. And God the Father said, when that one walked out of the tomb, something he did not say when he interrupted all those funerals, when he called those people out from the region and shadow of death, he said, thou art my son. Yes. And this day I have given you a place I give to no other. Right. You are alive forevermore. Praise be to God. Amen. We don't have a Savior who came into this world and died and was never heard from again. And we don't have a Savior who escaped death's cold, hard hands for a month or two or a year or two or a decade or two. Oh no! He is as alive right now as he was the morning he walked out of that tomb. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, Hebrews chapter number one. Hebrews chapter number one. There's another time the Holy Spirit reaches back into Psalm number 2 and quotes from the passage we read. And again, if you were taking an exam and all you had was Psalm number 2, you would not put down this answer. Verse 1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. He doesn't need your baptism to help him. He doesn't need your church membership to help him. He doesn't need your good works to help him. He took care of your sins all by himself. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now when he'd done that, he sat down, look at this, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, look, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now, we're reading about the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ ascending to heaven and sitting down at the right hand of God the Father on that throne in glory. You know something? One day Enoch and God were walking along the road, and the Lord decided he would take Enoch home with him. And the Bible says Enoch was translated. God, by his power, took Enoch up to heaven. Yeah. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that Elisha's following him, trying to keep up. And one day, as Elijah's walking down the road, down came a fiery chariot. The Living Bible says fiery Cadillac. Yeah. You got to put it in a modern language so people understand it. No, it doesn't say that. It says modern, it says fiery Humvee. See, look, you can't have a modern Bible. You'd have to change it every 2 years. How many of you work a job out in the world, secular job out in the world? Do you want a Bible in the language of the common people? I don't. You couldn't put Holy Bible on the front anymore. Anyway, the Lord sent a fiery chariot down. And Elijah got in that chariot and rode in that chariot to heaven. God, by his power, has taken men to heaven. God, by his grace, has taken a thief to paradise. He'll sound a trumpet and catch the church away, and we'll meet the Lord in the air, and the Lord will escort us into glory. But Jesus Christ stood on that Mount of Olives and he said to his disciples, I won't leave you comfortless. You stay in that upper room. You wait right there. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, while they watched, he was parted from them, and the Lord Jesus Christ, by his power, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was worthy, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he had right of access, was not translated, he was not raptured, he was not picked up in a chariot, he ascended. Amen. Up into heaven and sat in his rightful place on the throne of God at the right hand of the Father. And God said, I've got many sons, but this is the only one who has the right to sit on this throne. This is the only one who deserves this place at my side. Amen. Thanks be to God, by his grace, I am his son. Thanks be to God, by his power, he has given me birth and given me life. But I don't belong at the right hand of the Father. Thou art my son. This day, what day, has he ascended up on high and sat at the right hand of the majesty on high. God the Father said, this day, have a seat, my son. You are worthy. You are deserving. Praise the Lord. Look in your Bible in Hebrews chapter 5. The Lord reaches back a third time. Hebrews chapter number 5. The Bible says in verse number 1, for every high priest, there have been many of them, taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Sort of a mediator kind of a picture. Who can have compassion on the ignorant? Thank God for that. A man spoke this morning about having compassion upon people with addictions and habits and problems and vices, and everybody can't relate to that, but I can say this morning, thank God he has compassion on the ignorant. I didn't know how lost I was. I didn't know how hot hell was. I didn't know how good heaven was. I didn't know how great salvation was. I didn't know what a glorious book the Bible was. I was ignorant. Glad God had compassion on me. Sure did. Compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. Is that you? All we like sheep going astray, we turn everyone to his own way. For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity, and by reason hereof he ought as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron, so also, what are we talking about? High priest. What are we talking about? Somebody ordained of God to bring sacrifices, acceptable sacrifices for men into the presence of God, and to bring blessings, needed blessings from God to man. That's what a high priest did. Verse 5, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. God Almighty, once his son sat down at his right hand in the majesty on high, he said, I do not have a number of thrones up here so that many people can come many different ways. I have no seat for Buddha. I have no seat for Muhammad. I have no seat for popes. I have no seat for Baptist preachers. I have no seat for rabbis. I have no seat for shamans. I have one seat. I have one mediator. I have one high priest. Amen. It's my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this day I give Him full right and authority to bring men unto Me by His acceptable sacrifice. And I give Him full right and authority to give everlasting life and to give gifts and to give all good things, all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. I give to my Son and my Son alone. Amen. The authority and the power to save sinners. Amen. He's the only one. He is the only one who conquered death fully and completely. He is the only one who ascends by His own power into the presence of God. And He is the only one that can bring an acceptable sacrifice on behalf of man into the presence of God and bring life from God to man. Amen. He's the only one. Amen. Now, come back to John 3 if you need to. And look again at verse 16, and I'm going to say this very carefully. I did not come this way to be controversial. I did not come this way to cause trouble. When your pastor was being used of God to build this great work, he did not knock on a single door in Haines City in the 1970s to be greeted by a Muslim, by a Buddhist, by somebody who worshiped trees and rocks and sea cows. Amen. Every person that opened that door knew who Jesus was. Every person who opened that door knew Jesus was the only way to heaven. All we had to do in those days was talk somebody into receiving the Jesus Christ they already believed in. We don't live in that country anymore. That nation is gone. And we got people in 10 minutes trying to get an infidel or an atheist to call on the Lord. They don't know who He is. We're trying to get somebody the first day in Sunday school to have a life-changing meeting with Jesus Christ. They've never heard of Him. If they have heard of Him, it's one they made up. It's some twisted, distorted, perverted Jesus that they heard from some TV preacher. Amen. You know what that Bible says? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. How does the Bible define only begotten Son? The only one who conquered death by His righteous power. The only one who ascended to the right hand of the Father by His righteous power. And the only one that can give life through His righteous power. That whosoever believeth on Him. Not a hippie Jesus, not a liberal Jesus, not a Jesus that's one way out of many, not a Jesus that doesn't hate sin, not a Jesus that isn't holy and righteous altogether, not a Jesus that puts His arm around a Mohammedan and puts His arm around a Buddhist and says we're all one big happy family. That Jesus can't save anybody. He's no more real than Santa Claus. He's a figment of man's imagination. You can be saved in a moment of time, but you can't be saved by your Jesus. You can't be saved by your denomination's Jesus. You can't be saved by your national Jesus. You can't be saved by a Jesus you saw in a movie. You got to be saved by God's Jesus. If He isn't risen from the dead and alive forevermore, He's nobody. If He's not seated at the right hand of God the Father as the one who has the right by His righteousness to sit there, He's nobody. He's not the only way to heaven. He can't take you there. You can be saved in a moment of time, but not by Jesus. Hear me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God so loved the world. Bible doesn't say God so loved the world He gave Jesus. God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son. We got to make sure those people out there know what our forefathers knew.
Amen.
Come on.
Come on.
He is the holy, righteous, almighty, crucified, risen, ascended, King of kings and Lord of lords and the only Savior of sinners. The beginning, God created man in his own image, and ever since, man's been trying to return the favor. Everybody out there's got a Jesus. Their Jesus can't save them. The Jesus of this Bible is the only one can save them. God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. He said, I have begotten thee, son. This day you have conquered death, and death will never lay hold upon you again. I have begotten you, son. You may sit here at my right hand where no one else is entitled to sit. I have begotten you, my son, and from this day forward, on the basis of your acceptable sacrifice, I give you power to give eternal life to whosoever you will. That's what he said. Father, glorify me. John 17. And he said, when I receive that glorification, I will have power from my Father to give life to who I will. Nobody else has that power. No priest, no pope, no rabbi, no minister, not Mary or all her children. Only Jesus Christ. Amen. No. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Let's put some icing on that cake. You know what term the Bible uses for salvation? It says saved every once in a while. But in the books written to you, it doesn't say saved. It says in Christ. It doesn't say born again, though we are. It says in Christ. It says regenerated once, but again and again and again and again it says in Christ. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 2. Three times the Holy Spirit said of the Lord Jesus Christ, this day have I begotten thee. Positions, places. God the Father gave God the Son that he gave no one else. His resurrection, his ascension, his priesthood. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Are you in Christ?
Amen.
Are you in Christ?
Amen.
Look, it'd be one thing if Jesus is over here and you were over here and he just threw some salvation at you, that'd be great. I'd be glad to be saved. I'd be glad to be walking around down here and say, well, one day, I'm gonna, you know, me and the Lord, we're gonna meet up. But it's better than that.
Amen.
Many has received him, not only them gave you power to become the sons of God, but the Bible says we're all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Who is that body? Well, Christ the head. It's got to be his body. So we're in Christ. How many times you read that? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all through there. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Watch this. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Quickened. That's a great word. Don't get a new Bible that changes it to made alive. The Shunammite son was made alive, but he wasn't quickened. Lazarus was made alive, but he wasn't quickened. Jairus' daughter, the widow of Nain's son, Eutychus, when the preacher preached too long and he fell out the window. I put him to sleep. I've never killed him. Paul killed a man with that sermon. They died. They were made alive, but they died again. But somewhere down here, if you get past the dead fingernail, you get to the living part. You know what they call that? They call that the quick. We used to have a boy in our neighborhood growing up, and I don't be insulted. I'm older than a lot of you. He was retarded. That's what they used to say. I don't know now how they would designate, but and he'd always chew his fingernails, and I'd say, David, you better quit that. It's going to hurt you. He'd say, yeah, sometimes me bite down to the scream. He'd get down there. You know what he did? He'd get down there in the part that was alive. This part you cut off, it's dead, but down in there, there's something that's alive. It's alive. No matter how many times you cut off dead fingernail, there's something alive down there. It's quick.
Yeah.
You know what God did? He quickened his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He not only raised him from the dead, but he imparted to him, or he had by right, because he's the only begotten son, death was not going to get him again.
Yeah.
When you stepped into Jesus Christ, God didn't just give you life, he gave you everlasting life. God didn't give you life as long as you held on to it or held out or did this or didn't do that. He quickened us together with Christ. I am not only alive, I'm alive forevermore. I not only have life, I have everlasting, eternal life. Death can never lay hold upon me again. It can get my body, but as I leave it behind, I say, ha ha, I am absent from the body and present with the Lord. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and death comes to grab me, and the Lord puts his hand out and says, the shadow's all he's ever going to feel of you. Why? I've been quickened. If this is my last day on earth, I'm redeemed. I'm waiting for the redemption of my body. It's 8:01. If I'm going to die at 8:02 before I hit this platform, and you figure out I'm not faking, I'll be gone. I'll be gone. The body is dead because sin, the spirit is life, life, quickened. God gave you two pictures. Baptism. Death, buried with him. You know something, unless the pastor is really aggravated with you, it doesn't hurt a bit. He's trying to show you something. He's trying to show you something. It doesn't hurt a bit. He didn't say, I got two things I want the church to do. Kick each other in the shins and punch each other in the nose. He gave you a picture of death that doesn't hurt. Then he says, I want you to eat this bread and drink this cup, communion, and show the Lord's what? Death till he comes. You take that bread, you drink that cup, it doesn't hurt a bit.
Right.
He's trying to tell you something. He's trying to show you something. Death has no claim upon you. Why? Because when he saved you, he didn't just throw eternal life at you. Your 1 John says, Jesus Christ is eternal life. He didn't throw eternal life at you. He took you out of darkness. He took you out of sin. He took you out of death and translated you into his dear son. You know where I am tonight? I am in the one upon whom death cannot lay hold. I am in the one who has been quickened to live forevermore. I've got eternal life. Say, what if you don't keep it? I'm not keeping it. He's keeping me.
Amen.
Now, it's an amazing thing. God said, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. You're the only one that I am giving the power of an endless life. And then Jesus says, come get in me. Come on, get in me. And when you are in Christ, you have what God the Father gave him. It's not your merit. It's not your work. It's not your holding on or holding out. You're in him. Death ain't going to tangle with him a second time. Praise the Lord. Now, look at the next thing. Bible says in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace you're saved, and hath, that's past tense. Do you know a living man is writing to living people in Ephesians 2? Do you know a man on earth is being used of the Holy Spirit to write to men on earth in Ephesians 2?
Yes, sir.
You said, well, that's really deep. Wow. Yeah, but you got to get that.
Right.
And you hath he quickened, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Nobody has any right to sit at God's right hand on that throne but Jesus Christ. But there we sit. I've not been to your pastor's home, but if it's like most homes, somewhere in that living room is the chair. He thinks because it's his chair, nobody else can sit there. Actually, because it's his chair, most people are kind of thinking they don't want to sit there. But it's the chair. Mama doesn't sit in the chair. Stephen does not sit in the chair. His dear wife does not sit in the chair. Let a grandbaby bust through that door. Come here, sit in Grandpa's lap. The little kids come running in, jump up in the chair. The chair. And there they sit like they own the place. They hadn't paid $1 of one light bill. They hadn't cut one blade of grass. They've never washed a window. They've never done a dish. And there they sit in the chair. And there's only one reason they're sitting in that chair. Because the one to whom that chair belongs loves them with all his heart. They don't have to do anything to deserve it. They don't have to do anything to claim right to that chair. They're there because he wants them sitting in his lap in his chair. I have not contributed to a single inch of the gold street in the New Jerusalem. I have done nothing to make that light shine. I have done nothing to make those jasper walls or those pearl gates. Heaven didn't get any better when I got saved. But there's somebody sitting at the right hand of the Father that says, come here.
Amen.
Come sit in my lap. And Peter says the angels look at that and say, I don't get it. We've never sinned and we don't get to sit there. Isn't that right? Stephen come home, he'd been you know, at school all day doing his homework, and he'd cut the yard and everything else, come in and say, Ma, can I have some ice cream? And, no way, boy, you ain't going to ice cream. You get it and eat your supper. Dad, I got good report card. Can I go on a trip? No, you got chores to do, son. You're slacking off. Grandkids come busting through the door. Get these kids some ice cream, Mama. No. They hadn't had supper yet. Oh, they don't need supper. Get them some ice cream. Load that car up. Let's take these kids down to the zoo. The zoo, they've been bad. They've been bad. Ah, oh, they ain't been bad. Look at them. They couldn't be bad. Isn't that right? That devil, he stomps and fumes and spits and hollers. And he said they hadn't memorized their scripture. They didn't go on visitation. They hadn't prayed enough. They're still doing that. I saw him do just that. Just the other day, I saw him do that. Lord said, hey, you hush. Get this boy some ice cream.
Amen.
You don't deserve those clothes on your back. You don't deserve that sound mind. You don't deserve that joy you've got in your heart right now. You don't deserve that peace you have when you lay down your pillow at night. You know why your life is so good? Because you're sitting in the lap of somebody that just loves you because he loves you. I want to serve him. I want to work for him. I want to wear myself out serving Jesus Christ, but I'll never deserve that seat. But God the Father gave it to God the Son, and God the Son said, come here. Get in me. Get in me. You don't have any heavenly spiritual blessings in heavenly places because you've earned them. You have them because you're in the one who's earned them. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. God's only given that high priesthood to one person, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says this. Revelation chapter 1. Verse number 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. You see that? He's not the first one to come up from the dead. He's the first begotten. There it is. And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. Is that you? Come on. It's not a trick question. Is that you? Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Is that you? And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Is that you?
Amen.
Hey, you know who you're looking at? King James. And I don't use tobacco or have a frilly neck thing. Hey, Psalm number 2 says, there's only one king. Remember that?
Yes.
He's made us kings.
Yes.
Hebrews 5 says, there's only one priest. He's made us priests.
Right.
You know what you get to do when you go back to the Philippines? You know what you get to do when you go back to Bahamas? When you get back to Bahamas, my schedule is packed, but I could work that in. I'm just kidding. Well, I love those islands, those island people. Praise the Lord. You get back there. Hey, tomorrow you get back to your job. There's only one that can take eternal life from God the Father and give it to sinners. You know what he's done? He's placed the gospel in your hands, the Holy Spirit in your heart, and he allows you to go out and from house to house and person to person and door to door and street corner to street corner, he allows you to bring the gift of eternal life to sinful men. And we gather in our rooms and we gather in our auditoriums and we get on our knees at altars, and you know what we do? We offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God on behalf of our brothers and our sisters and our lost loved ones and our friends. We've got no right to that.
Yes,
sir. And one day, we're going to mount up and follow our Lord down through his universe. Watch as he sweeps through Armageddon. Watch as his feet land on the Mount of Olives. Watch as he rides through that eastern gate. Watch as he sits on the throne of his father David.
Yes.
And we are going to rule and reign as kings with him. And we do not deserve that on our best day. But in Christ, what God the Father has given to God the Son is yours. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. How could you be a joint heir with an only begotten Son if you're in him?
Yes.
That incredible?
Yes, sir.
We don't have to work for the Lord. We get to work for the Lord.
Amen.
We're not required to work for the Lord. We're blessed to work for the Lord.
Amen.
It's been many years ago now, but we were going through boxes. Our children got grown and did a horrible thing. They left and went out on their own. My wife's over it better than I am. But we're going through boxes of pictures. That's what you do. Wish they were 3. Wish they were 5. Wish they were 7. Wish I still looked like that. Going through those pictures. And my dad grew up on a farm. I told you, Pastor, they were so poor when the Depression hit, they didn't know it. Didn't change anything. He grew up on the farm, and all he could think about was one day having enough money to live in town. We grew up in town. All I want to do is move out in the country. Raise those animals. You know, growing your own meat, that's a great idea if there weren't grocery stores. Anyway, you don't hear all that. So we bought this property, we cleared this land, and we're going to fence it and put some cattle on it. And I found this picture. I had on these rubber boots because we bought land in Florida that we could afford. Had on a flannel shirt. It was a dead of winter. Must have been 55 or 60 that day. Freezing. Had on a big hat. And I'm carrying a fence post. I'm going to set that fence post. And down at the bottom of that fence post, my little boy's about 3 years old. And he's got on rubber boots, a flannel shirt, and a big hat. He's got his arm around that fence post. You're saying that sweetie was helping you. He wasn't helping me. He wasn't any help at all. I could have done it faster without him. I could have done it better without him. I could have done more in less time. But I would have missed the incredible joy of seeing a little boy who only thought he was doing something but really wasn't. But he wanted to wear the same boots Daddy wore. He wanted to wear the same shirt Daddy wore. He wanted to wear the same hat Daddy wore. He wanted to put his arm around the same task Daddy was involved in. Hey, bus captain, you're just in the way. Hey, Sunday school teacher, God could do it better without you. Pastor, man of God, you're just a drag on the work. But God looks down here, he said, look at that. They want to walk in my footsteps.
Yeah.
Look at that. They want to bear my image and my likeness.
Yeah.
It might take longer this way. It might be harder this way. It might not turn out as well this way. But I'm really enjoying this. You're in Christ. Just put on your boots and put on your hat and throw your arm around some kind of ministry and throw your arm around some kind of service and do your best for God.
Amen.
But don't ever touch His glory because you're not doing it. And don't ever take His praise because you have no right to any of that. He's the only begotten Son. But look at where He lets you live. Look at where He lets you sit. Look at where He lets you serve. What a blessing. I'm not just saved tonight, and that'd be good, but I'm in Christ. I'm in the One who is alive forevermore. I'm in the One who sits at God's right hand, and I'm in the One that brings men to God and God's blessings to men, and He lets me have part in all of that.
Yes.
What a God.
Amen.
What a Savior.
Yes.
The next time you read John 3:16, slow down just a little bit when you get to His only begotten Son. It's Jesus, but it's bigger than Jesus. It's Jesus, the risen Savior. It's Jesus, the ascended Lord. It's Jesus, the great High Priest. It's Jesus, the King of Kings. And if you look real close at that picture, you'll see that you're in it.
Yeah.
You're in it.
Yeah.